2015 Higher School Certificate Examination, English ESL Listening Paper. You are about to hear an extract from an ABC radio interview. In the extract, we hear Adam Spencer interview Chris Hadfield, an astronaut and author, about his experiences in space. Before you hear the recording, you will have 2 minutes to read the questions printed in this paper. As you are listening to the recording, follow the questions. You may write notes if you wish in the candidates' note spaces provided on pages 2 to 4. Anything you write in the candidates' note spaces will not be marked. You will hear the recording, then the questions will be read aloud. You will hear the recording a second time, and then you will be given time to write the answers. You now have 2 minutes to read the questions. You will now hear the recording.
We're talking with astronaut Chris Hadfield, whose book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, is out now.
Thanks, Adam. It's nice to speak with you.
Now, on your first spacewalk in 2001, things didn't go perfectly according to plan, did they?
Well, things never go perfectly according to plan, hardly ever, and definitely not during spaceflight. But my first spacewalk, partway through it, I was toiling away, actually doing up some big bolts to put together the new robot arm on the space station when suddenly I was blinded. And first one eye and then the other progressively were blinded by contamination in the suit. And it was not what I expected to happen. It was definitely an unusual place to be on my very first spacewalk, wearing the big white space suit, with Space Shuttle Endeavour docked to the International Space Station, and suddenly the one sense, you know, the one of the five senses that was really doing me a lot of good, where I could see what was happening, was gone. And my eyes were tearing terribly, and we had to figure out what to do next. It was not what I was hoping would happen that day.
And people who would have seen some of your amazing online YouTube lessons about the way that liquids behave in space, there's something to do with crying in space that's a little bit different to tearing up here on Earth.
Yeah, when you get something in your eye on Earth, of course, the first thing that happens is you bring one hand up to rub your eye. And you're rubbing your eye, of course, is to flush and move whatever it is that's in your eye out of the way, but also to help move the tears around and to help the little tear duct function. But then the next thing is that with all the tears that are coming out of the tear duct in your upper eyelid, it flushes out your eye, and gravity pulls the tears in the tear duct down in your nose, so your nose runs, but also runs down your cheek. None of that works when you're in your space. You can't rub your eye because it's inside a fishbowl of a helmet, and your tears come out, but they don't go anywhere because in space, tears don't fall.
I've read some comments of yours. You talk about spacewalking, you know, not being particularly glamorous.
Spacewalking is magnificent. Don't get me wrong. It is an amazing way to see the world. You know, it's the difference between looking at something through your living room window and hanging on the side of a cliff and seeing it. It's hugely visceral and wonderful. If you want to see the vastness of it and the fact that the universe is below you. But when you come back inside after 8 hours of working outside, where you've been wearing a diaper and a liquid cooling garment, sweating and bleeding in your suit, and potentially even using that diaper, you do not emerge from your spacesuit looking nearly as good.
But where most people come to know you, Chris, were those amazing online YouTube lessons you were giving, answering questions to school kids in Canada about what happens if you spray water in space and how it globs up and things like that. Did you have any idea at the time when you were doing that how viral that was going? Did you know that that was just captivating the minds of millions of people on Earth while you were doing that?
I did not. I hoped it would, but mostly I was doing what I'd always wanted to do, and that was have the time up there to answer all of those questions that people have been asking me for the last 20 years as an astronaut. The most popular natural human curiosity. How do you do all of the normal human functions? How do you use the toilet? How do you brush your teeth? How do you sleep? How do you eat? How do you make a cup of coffee when you can't have a cup? And how do you do all those things? And so it was nice to have the time to just set up my iPad or a little camera and say, okay, today we are going to trim my mustache, and this is how you do it when you don't have gravity, or get a haircut. And how do you avoid the hair from floating everywhere and getting in your lungs, and all the little prosaic details that not only, though, show people just the answer to the simple question, but more importantly than that is when you show somebody in an entirely new environment something simple, it makes them recognize the huge difference of that new environment, and then maybe start to see things, experiments, opportunities that you could do there. Like when we had a national science competition to students in school saying, what experiment would you like me to do? Two young ladies said, why don't you just wring out a washcloth and see what does the water do when you wring it out? And so when I did that, I knew, of course, what it was going to do, but the behavior of water without gravity to pull it down, how it's driven by surface tension, how it ran up my arms. Millions and millions of, I think it's over 10 million people have watched that video.
Including my two daughters, Chris, who sat there spellbound and just said, show me again, show me again, show me again. 5 and 8-year-old girls who now want to go into space.
But not only did they see it because it's visually entertaining, but it makes them think, water doesn't always behave the way that I'm used to. Why? How? What else could we do up there? What other opportunities does that bring? It pushes our understanding and therefore our curiosity and our opportunity some. So it served multiple purposes to make all those videos, and I was delighted to be both cameraman and hammy actor in all of them.
If you had the chance, would you go again?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been so lucky. I flew in space 3 times. Walked in space. I've been to 2 different space stations. You know, I've been very fortunate. It is such a rare, joyous, challenging, and worthwhile human endeavor. I would love to have a chance to do it again.
A profound thank you, Chris, and congratulations on everything you've achieved so far in what I'm sure will continue to be an amazing life.
You will now hear a reading of the questions. Question 1. Describe what went wrong on Chris Hadfield's first spacewalk. Question 2. What was it about the YouTube lessons that captivated the minds of millions of people? Question 3. What does Chris Hadfield mean when he says, "It was such a rare, joyous, challenging, and worthwhile human endeavour"? Question 4. Give two examples of Chris Hadfield's success. Question 5. How does Chris Hadfield communicate the positive and negative aspects of spacewalking? Question 6. How is the attitude of the interviewer toward Chris Hadfield conveyed in the text? You'll now hear the recording a second time.
We're talking with astronaut Chris Hadfield, whose book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, is out now.
Thanks, Adam. It's nice to speak with you.
Now, on your first spacewalk in 2001, things didn't go perfectly according to plan, did they?
Well, things never go perfectly according to plan, hardly ever, and definitely not during spaceflight. But my first spacewalk, partway through it, I was toiling away, actually doing up some big bolts to put together the new robot arm on the space station when suddenly I was blinded. And first one eye and then the other progressively were blinded by contamination in the suit. And it was not what I expected to happen. It was definitely an unusual place to be on my very first spacewalk, wearing the big white space suit with Space Shuttle Endeavour docked to the International Space Station, and suddenly the one sense, you know, the one of the five senses that was really doing me a lot of good, where I could see what was happening, was gone. And my eyes were tearing terribly, and we had to figure out what to do next. It was not what I was hoping would happen that day.
And people who would have seen some of your amazing online YouTube lessons about the way that liquids behave in space, there's something to do with crying in space that's a little bit different to tearing up here on Earth.
Yeah, when you get something in your eye on Earth, of course, the first thing that happens is you bring one hand up to rub your eye. And you're rubbing your eye, of course, is to flush and move whatever it is that's in your eye out of the way, but also to help move the tears around and to help the little tear duct function. But then the next thing is that with all the tears that are coming out of the tear duct in your upper eyelid, it flushes out your eye, and gravity pulls the tears in the tear duct down in your nose, so your nose runs, but also runs down your cheek. None of that works when you're in your space. You can't rub your eye because it's inside a fishbowl of a helmet, and your tears come out, but they don't go anywhere because in space, tears don't fall.
I've read some comments of yours. You talk about spacewalking, you know, not being particularly glamorous.
Spacewalking is magnificent. Don't get me wrong. It is an amazing way to see the world. You know, it's the difference between looking at something through your living room window and hanging on the side of a cliff and seeing it. It's hugely visceral and wonderful. If you want to see the vastness of it and the fact that the universe is below you. But when you come back inside after 8 hours of working outside, where you've been wearing a diaper and a liquid cooling garment, sweating and bleeding in your suit, and potentially even using that diaper, you do not emerge from your spacesuit looking nearly as good.
But where most people came to know you, Chris, were those amazing online YouTube lessons you were giving, answering questions to school kids in Canada about what happens if you spray water in space and how it globs up and things like that. Did you have any idea at the time when you were doing that how viral that was going? Did you know that that was just captivating the minds of millions of people on Earth while you were doing that?
I did not. I hoped it would, but mostly I was doing what I'd always wanted to do, and that was have the time up there to answer all of those questions that people have been asking me for the last 20 years as an astronaut. The most popular natural human curiosity: how do you do all of the normal human functions? How do you use the toilet? How do you brush your teeth? How do you sleep? How do you eat? How do you make a cup of coffee when you can't have a cup? And how do you do all those things? And so it was nice to have the time to just set up my iPad or a little camera and say, okay, today we are going to trim my mustache, and this is how you do it when you don't have gravity, or get a haircut. And how do you avoid the hair from floating everywhere and getting in your lungs, and all the little prosaic details that not only, though, show people just the answer to the simple question, but more importantly than that is when you show somebody in an entirely new environment, something simple, it makes them recognize the huge difference of that new environment and then maybe start to see things, experiments, opportunities that you could do there. Like when we had a national science competition to students in schools saying, what experiment would you like me to do? Two young ladies said, why don't you just wring out a washcloth and see what does the water do when you wring it out? And so when I did that, I knew, of course, what it was going to do, but the behavior of water without gravity to pull it down, how it's driven by surface tension, how it ran up my arms. Millions and millions of, I think it's over 10 million people have watched that video.
Including my two daughters, Chris, who sat there spellbound and just said, show me again, show me again, show me again. 5 and 8-year-old girls who now want to go into space.
But not only did they see it because it's visually entertaining, but it makes them think, water doesn't always behave the way that I'm used to. Why? How? What else could we do up there? What other opportunities does that bring? It pushes our understanding and therefore our curiosity and our opportunity some. So it served multiple purposes to make all those videos, and I was delighted to be both cameraman and hammy actor in all of them.
If you had the chance, would you go again?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been so lucky. I flew in space 3 times. Walked in space. I've been to 2 different space stations. You know, I've been very fortunate. It is such a rare, joyous, challenging, and worthwhile human endeavor. I would love to have a chance to do it again.
A profound thank you, Chris, and congratulations on everything you've achieved so far in what I'm sure will continue to be an amazing life.
You now have approximately 13 minutes to complete the answers. There will be a warning after 11 minutes to indicate that you have 2 minutes left to complete your answers. When you have finished your answers, carefully cross out any notes that you do not want the marker to mark. You now have approximately 2 minutes left to complete your answers. Please put your pen down. The examination is now.